All of us today need to realize the greatness and grandeur of our Maker. God is great beyond description. His power is beyond our comprehension. Yet I believe today we need to realize that not only do we have a God in this world who's extremely great and a God who's so very powerful, but the Bible also describes to us a God of this world. We need to realize that the God of this world is none other than Satan himself. Our God is the God of this great universe, and yet we need to realize there are two great forces that are at work today. One of these forces we know as God, the other one we know as Satan. And what I want us to do in our lesson this morning is to talk specifically regarding the power and the influence and the actions of the God of this world, Satan, and how it is that he goes about working in our lives. Now, the Bible says in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then lust, when it hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Now, we certainly are all tempted as we are drawn away of our own lust. And yet, we need to realize today that Satan is there before us, placing various temptations for which we ourselves desire and lust for. That's the work, that's the program Satan has. God does not tempt us, yet Satan is that individual who's always seeking to lead us astray. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Here we find that Satan was one that was willing to even tempt the very Son of God. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, Paul said, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain." You know, Paul realized even among those in the church that Satan could neutralize their efforts, and all the work that Paul and others had done could be in vain because of the efforts of Satan. Now, when we turn over in our Bibles to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we read about the graphic way in which Satan tempted our Lord and Savior just before he went out to begin his public ministry. And from these accounts and from other parts of God's Word this morning, I want us to notice some things that we might better understand Satan's game plan. Satan does have a game plan, and it is a very good game plan. And I think it's important that we understand that, how that he goes about trying to tempt us and how he goes about seeking the eternal destruction of each one of us. First of all, this morning, I think we need to realize something that I think many times we take for granted. And that is the fact that Satan is a real person. He is an individual. He's not some fairy tale figure out here. He's not the figment of somebody's imagination. He's not just some myth, but the Bible expressly says that Satan is a being, he is a person, he's a reality, he does exist, and he's a very effective force in this world in which we live. And if we look at the account of Matthew regarding the temptations of the devil toward our Lord, we find such statements recorded there, such as, "When the tempter came to him," talking there about an individual or a person. It also says, "Then cometh the devil and taketh him to an exceeding high mountain." The Bible also records in Matthew's account, that Jesus said to him. To who? Well, to the devil, to the tempter. The devil said to our Lord, "All these things will I give to you, if you will but fall down and worship me." He used the personal pronouns there to demonstrate he is a person. In Luke 4 and verse 13, when the devil had ended all these temptations, the Bible says that Satan departed from him for a season. And so as we look at the Bible, its language and grammar and how it describes Satan, we have to be convinced that he's a real person. And yet I wonder how many of us stop and realize and are aware that there is an individual in this world whom the Bible characterizes as the God of this world. And this being, this individual, is striving with all of his might to cause each one of us to be condemned eternally. You know, Satan has every quality that would make him a person, that would make him an intelligent being. He has a name. In Revelation 20 and verse 2, he's called the devil. He's called Satan. He's also an individual that has children. John 8 verse 44, Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil." And so the devil is the father of his family. And he also has children. 1 John 3 and verse 10 says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil." And so the devil has a household. He is the head over his household. He is the father of his household. And those who are in his household are his children. And the devil is the kind of individual that has specific desires. Our Lord said to Peter one time in Luke 22 and verse 31, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for you, Peter, that your faith fail not." And to every faithful child of God here in this building this morning, the very same thing that the Lord said to Peter applies to every one of us. Whether you're young or old, Satan desires to have you. And the Bible even says that Satan can oppress. The Bible speaks in Acts 10 and verse 38 of those who are oppressed by the devil. And certainly every one of us today are oppressed by him. And Satan is very deceptive as well. The Bible speaks of the devil that deceived them in Revelation 20 and verse 10. And Satan is so intelligent that he can actually set a trap. He can actually ensnare an individual. You know, it's like a trapper out here. If he wants to trap a certain kind of an animal, he'll set a certain kind of a trap. And you know, Satan's very much aware of that principle, and he knows exactly the kind of snare that's needed to entrap you. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26, Paul said that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his own will. Now, let's just be honest this morning. How many times have you and I seen the trap that Satan has set for each one of us? How many times have we seen it and we've fallen victim to it? We've fallen into that trap. Folks, it didn't happen by accident. Because the Bible says those are taken captive by his own will. You see, Satan makes up his mind with each one of us what he wants to do. He has a plan to trap and ensnare each one of us. And the Bible says that Satan can even hinder us. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18, Paul said, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." I wonder how many times Satan has hindered us in our work for the Lord. And not only can he ensnare us and hinder us, we need to realize Satan can and he will lie to us. He is a liar. He's the father of lies. John 8 and verse 44, Satan will tell us one thing. He'll turn right around and do another. So you see, the devil's the kind of individual that can ensnare. He has a name. He has a family. And we need to realize he is a reality. And I just hope that when you leave this building this morning that you'll have your minds made up to the fact that Satan is a person. He is real. He is an individual. And his goal is to cause each one of us to be lost on that last and final day. But also this morning, as we think about Satan's game plan, as we think about the God of this world, let me suggest to you that Satan is very persistent in what he does. You know, he just doesn't tempt us one time, and if we don't give in, that's it. He leaves us alone. You think about how the devil tempted our Lord in Matthew chapter 4. Satan tempted our Lord the first time, and the Lord was victorious. He went ahead and tempted our Lord again, and once again, our Lord overcame that temptation. A third time, the devil came, and once again, the devil was defeated, and our Lord was victorious. And in Luke 4 and verse 13, after all these temptations, the Bible says the devil departed from him, but for a season. You see, it wasn't just those three times and that was it. All throughout the life of Jesus Christ, he was subjected to the temptations of Satan over and over again. That's why the Bible says that Christ was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In fact, Satan desired to have Peter so much that Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, Satan wants you. He desires you that he may sift you as wheat. And yet we know that Satan was so persistent in Peter's life that he ultimately got Peter to curse and to swear and to deny Jesus Christ. He got Peter to say, "I don't even know who he is." Satan was so persistent and he kept on until he finally got one in the inner circle of our Lord, Judas, to betray the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. You know, why was it that Judas had that inordinate love for money? Was it not because of the persistence of Satan? But you know, today Satan will not let up as well. He is persistent with every one of us. You know, if you're a young person today, you got your whole life ahead of you, there's one thing for sure you can understand and you need to realize. Satan is going to tempt you. He's going to test you. And he's going to do that at your weakest point. And young people today have strong desires, and Satan is going to try his best to tempt you as a young person with the lusts of the flesh. We see it every day on television. We're bombarded with it in our culture and in our society. He will tempt you with pressure, the pressure to belong, the pressure to be a part, the desire to be in the group. And Satan knows exactly how to set those traps to catch you when you are off guard. Or if you're a young married couple in early adulthood, you had your whole life before you, Satan will say, "Listen, don't spend all your time working for the Lord. You know, get out here and be ambitious. You know, get ahead in this world." Or in the middle age years of life, Satan will say to you, "You know, you need to realize how important the things of this world really are. And you need to make sure while you're at this age that You've made real adequate plans for the future. So don't spend a lot of your time and money in the work of the Lord. You've got to think of yourself. You've got to think about your future. And, you know, Satan keeps on working on us when we're older. He may cause you to be so cynical or so hateful. He may cause you to be the kind of person that is just totally dissatisfied and always critical. But the truth is, Satan will not let up on us from the time we're young until the time we go to the grave. And if Satan can't get us to commit and to submit to those lusts of the flesh that we read about in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, maybe he'll cause us to have an ugly and unforgiving attitude, like that elder brother in Luke chapter 15 who just had an ugly attitude toward his younger brother who had come home. If Satan can't cause us to commit murder or to hurt somebody physically, he'll tempt us to kill with our tongue. He'll tempt us to say some things that might assassinate somebody's character. He just won't leave us alone. He's extremely persistent. And how we need to realize that Satan is a real person and that he is so persistent that he will never, ever leave us alone. All throughout our lives, he will never give up. And he will never give up on you. But not only is the God of this world a reality, not only is Satan persistent, I want to submit to you today, and I think we need to understand that Satan is everywhere. Satan is omnipresent. Satan is wherever we are striving to tempt us. You know, we read in Job 1 verse 7 that Satan walks to and fro upon all the earth. In our scripture reading this morning, Peter warned us to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. You go back to Matthew chapter 4, and we see the devil was there tempting our Lord in the wilderness when our Lord was there alone, nobody else there. Satan was there to tempt him. Now, sometimes we may think, well, the devil only tempts us when we are in a crowd. The devil only tempts us when we're with certain people. Or the devil may only tempt us when we are in a city far away from home or in certain situations. But folks, we need to realize that some of those most powerful, some of the strongest temptations that we are ever subjected to are those temptations that the devil will put upon us when we are totally alone. Temptation is wherever we are, either alone or in a crowd. We also see from Matthew's account that the devil was not only in the wilderness, but he was in the holy city. We read in Matthew 4 and verse 5 that the devil takes the Lord into the holy city. Now, it might kind of shock us to understand that the devil would be in the holy city. See, he's not just in the places that we might think he would be. But we need to be very much aware of the fact that Satan is working on us today in the church of our Lord. We need to be very much aware of the fact that Satan is working on us when we go to school tomorrow, when we go to our jobs, when we are involved in recreation, when we're among our friends. Satan is omnipresent. You know, Satan just doesn't confine himself to bad places and to bad people. And to be honest, Satan really isn't concerned about all the bars and all the places of immorality today, because those places are already his domain. But we need to be aware of the fact that Satan is concentrating and working on every faithful child of God to cause us to be lost. We need to be aware of Satan's presence even right now when we worship. When we're at school, when we're on dates, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, Satan is always right there. He never, ever gives up. And I can assure you, he'll never give up on you. Because you see, Satan desires to have you. But not only is he real and omnipresent, let me suggest to you as well that Satan is one that's very shrewd, very subtle, very seductive in his approach. He's one that actually can cause us to give in to him without our being aware that's the case. He's the kind of individual that can actually gain control in our lives without our being aware of it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, "But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted through the simplicity that's in Christ." Paul here was very much afraid that the Corinthians might be corrupted by the subtlety of the devil. You think about Adam and Eve there back in the beautiful garden. They had been created perfect. They were in the perfect situation, in the very paradise of God, and yet Satan was so sly and so cunning that he got Eve to transgress the very thing that he had told them not to do. And we need to realize that Satan can control our lives. That's why Ephesians 6 and verse 11 speaks of the wiles of the devil. You know, the timing of the devil and his temptations, I think, show just how shrewd and how subtle he is. He can always catch us at our very weakest moment. You know, the first time the devil tempted the Son of God was right after he was baptized into Christ. The glow of the Holy Spirit was still on his face. He had heard those words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." But there's no doubt in my mind that some of the greatest temptations that the devil will ever thrust upon an individual are those temptations that come immediately after one is baptized. When a person obeys the gospel and is baptized into Christ, he has made up his mind to change his life. But you know, that's a very dangerous time because Satan tempts you to go back to your old ways, to go back to your old friends, to go back to your old manner of life. He tempts you to go back and to do things the easy way, the way you did before you became a child of God, to go back to those old habits and ideas. And then Satan tempted our Lord when he was very weak. The Lord had been without food. He had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know how he did it. I can't go a day. But our Lord had gone 40 days and 40 nights without food. He was very hungry. And what did Satan do? He said, "If you be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread." See, that's the way Satan works. He knows what our weak points are. And he uses that against us. That's why he's so shrewd. You know, Hebrews 12 and verse 1 speaks about those besetting sins. And Satan knows what each one of our besetting sins are. He knows your weaknesses. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he knows exactly the situation in which he ought to target and to best hit you at the right time. And then notice that the devil tempted our Lord right before he went out to begin his personal ministry. And that's the way the devil is with us today. He doesn't mind us sitting back here at Del Rada, and he doesn't mind us making a lot of plans. He doesn't mind us getting out here and, you know, talking about going to work for the Lord. But when we make up our mind that we're going to get down to business, when we make up our minds and determine that we're going to accomplish some things for the Lord, then we need to realize that Satan too also gets busy. He also goes to work. He also gets excited. He can have a hold of us. He can control us without our being aware of it. But then let me point out today that Satan is also very brazen. It's amazing to me to think about the fact that Satan didn't shrink back for one moment from tempting the very Son of God. It would seem to me personally that of all people, Satan would have omitted trying to tempt Jesus Christ. Did he not know who Jesus was? Did he not know that Jesus was the Son of God? Did he not know that Jesus was God's plan to redeem mankind? That he was God? You know, Jesus knew of Satan's origin. Jesus knew who Satan was. He knew very well about the purposes of Satan. Our Lord understood eventually what was going to happen to Satan. But amazingly, Satan didn't draw back for one moment from tempting Jesus Christ. Now, I think we need to listen very carefully this morning. And you need to listen now to what I'm saying. If Satan could tempt the Son of God, as he did all throughout his life, you might as well mark it down that he's going to be there to tempt you, and he's going to be there to tempt me, and he's going to be there to do it very slyly, very shrewdly, and at our very weakest moment. He'll tempt you regardless of how faithful you may think you are. He'll tempt you regardless of how strong you may be. He will go after you as well. But I can't close the lesson without suggesting that even though Satan is very powerful, he's real, he can be conquered. We can be victorious over Satan. Jesus Christ successfully met and defeated the adversary, and so can we. And if we'll follow the Lord's example, we too can be victorious over Satan. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we ought not go about courting the temptations of Satan. I'm afraid sometimes, though we in the church, though we may not go and outwardly involve ourselves in things that we know that are wrong, maybe we try to get close to it. We associate with those who do it. We think that there's no way I'll ever give in. But the Lord taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation. And if we're going to overcome Satan, we just can't toy around and flirt with sin. If we start playing around with sin, things that we know well and good are wrong, if we're not careful, Satan will tempt us in that weak moment and we'll give in. That's why Paul told Timothy to flee youthful lust. That's why we're told to abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. That's why we're admonished in Romans 12 and verse 9 to abhor that which is evil and cling to that which is good. And I think we can overcome temptation if we'll fill our hearts and our minds with the Word of God. Did you notice during those 40 days, every time Satan came to the Lord, our Lord always said, "It is written." Our Lord was so full of God's Word that it enabled Him to be victorious over Satan. And God's Word is powerful. The gospel is God's power unto salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16. The psalmist said in Psalms 119 and verse 11, "Your Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against you." Ephesians 6 and verse 11 and admonishes us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. A mother once wrote in her son's Bible before he left for the army, she wrote, "This book can keep you from sin, and only sin can keep you from this book." We need to fill our minds with the Word of God. And if we're going to overcome Satan, we're going to have to make up our minds that we're going to resist him, that we're going to stand against him. We need to make up our minds we're not going to give an inch. We're not going to compromise a particle. And when we say no, we ought to mean no. We ought to have no reservations at all when we stand against him. If we will resist him, we can overcome him. The Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. James 4 and verse 7 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If we can have the courage to stand against Satan and say, there's no way I'm going to give in, then Satan does not stand a chance. The Bible says he will flee from you. He cannot stand that kind of resistance. And yet, the Bible says he'll only depart for a season. After Satan tempted our Lord there in the wilderness, he departed only for a short time. That's why we are admonished in Matthew 26 and 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. That's why we're warned to be sober, to be alert, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Peter says, you better watch out. Satan's after you. So as we close today, let's realize that Satan is very effective. He's very real. He's very powerful. He's very influential. And for you personally, you need to think about your relationship to God. Have you allowed Satan to cause you to become unfaithful to God? Has Satan gained control of your life? Has he caused you to go off into sin? Have you allowed him to steal away your love and devotion to the God of heaven? Please know that you can overcome him. You can resist him. But if you've given in to him, you ought to be willing to come back. You can come this morning asking God to forgive you of your sins as you confess those sins. If you're not a Christian today, don't give in to Satan's temptation to just wait a while longer. Resolve that you're going to do what you know you need to do, understanding that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and based upon your faith in him, be willing to come and repent. Acknowledge him as the Son of God. Be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. This morning, if you're subject to heaven's invitation, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.